the Tom Likas Show.
Chicks rarely develop their brains. They don't have to.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No, you didn't.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you find us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And we are so happy to welcome once again to the program our friend, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, thanks for coming in. Are you there?
Gary's taking extra good care of me, aren't you, Gary? Leaving my mic off. Thank you.
Oh, boy.
Well, Tom, when you're not here, everything just falls apart.
Now, when you say that, Adam, don't you want the most possible people to hear your dulcet tones? When you say that, what do you think that does to the audience when you say that? Come on.
I think they love us when we're here, Tom. That's for sure.
I gave Adam a mic that wasn't even plugged in.
Yeah, you sure did.
He was doing a show all by himself.
Thanks, buddy.
Sorry about that, man.
Well, it's good practice.
Yeah, right. I mean, you as a kid, Tom, probably did it a million times. You probably talked into a
Tom would talk into a hose for the right amount of money.
Some shit like that.
I would.
I had Adam practicing over
there. There were times when I was in, for example, Stanton, Virginia, or Albany, New York. Just because you were talking to a microphone and there was a transmitter didn't mean anybody was going to call in. So you developed a style. That's how it worked.
Oh, God. So, Tom, this was the big Labor Day weekend, major DUI action. And there was
That was your phone ringing off the hook?
No doubt. And there was a line from Breaking Bad, apparently. The crooked guy Saul there, you know, the attorney on Breaking Bad, said,
I do.
Don't drink and drive, but if you do, call me, or something like that. But, you know, Tom, we talked about DUI a few times, and there's something else going on. And seriously, I need you to take your dad role with me today, okay?
All right.
I need to ask you what to do, Dad, because this is no joke, all right?
Okay.
And this might go deep, Tom. This might even really affect some of the old Likas 101 concepts here, okay?
I'm ready to help you. Yes.
Okay, so we talked about this, and you had that lady on, that Canadian woman. I'm trying to remember her name. Strawn, I think it was. And she was talking about this campaign, which was that a woman, you know, just because you regret it in the morning doesn't mean it was rape, you know? And I have been getting call after call, Tom, from completely freaked out relatives that their son or their brother is in jail because he met some girl and, you know, next day, whatever, woke up with her and she said that he raped her. And the women are very sharp about this. They say that they felt dizzy and they fell asleep and all this. And so they say that they must have been given some kind of a rape drug or whatever. But then the toxicology report comes out negative. So they weren't on any drug, but they've made the allegation. So it kind of sticks, you know, like just the fact that they said it.
Oh boy.
And the police pursue this stuff. And I've had a couple of guys whose lives are going to be pretty much down the tubes because of this. And so I've got to ask you, Tom, we've got to think about this. This is important. This is a real heads-together thing, okay? Yeah. In terms of going out there and picking up women, is it not a good idea to sleep with someone on the first date? Because I'm starting to think, honestly, that it's a really bad idea. That you definitely have a real issue of consent. And it definitely turns out that a woman sort of reevaluates after you've had sex based on how you treat her in the next morning and how she feels and all this other subjective stuff. And she can conclude that you weren't nice to her or you're not committed to her or whatever, and she'll go for broke. I was talking last week, if you remember, when we were talking about family law, how it's very common now that your basic relationship ends with a restraining order. That women don't just say, oh, well, it didn't work out. They want a piece of flesh. And it's amazing, but a lot of women, I'm sorry to say, are crazy enough to really go for broke. And they know to go and say, I was with this guy, we were at a club, and I woke up in the morning in his bed, I don't know how I got there. He must have drugged me, and he must have had sex with me. And then guys, and we've talked about this too, Tom, how guys don't hire lawyers right away, and guys go to court without a lawyer and all this. Guys will sit with the police and make all kinds of self-incriminating statements and admit that they had sex and admit that they picked the woman up. And then they'll just say, no, but it was consensual. And so it becomes like the he said, she said thing. And in that circumstance, the guy is usually going to lose because the woman's going to go to court and she's going to cry and she's going to be all upset. So what do you think, Tom? You think maybe it's smart to wait to the second date?
I don't think that protects you because a woman can do that to you anytime she chooses. And I'm willing to bet that there are women who they'll do it after the second date, the third date, or the fourth date. I'm going to tell you a story about somebody who, well, he and I are not in contact anymore because I thought the guy was losing his mind.
Wow.
But I knew a guy who I met as a result of him hearing me on the radio. And this wasn't the usual, you know, a fan kind of thing. The guy was somebody who I used to see all the time when I was out doing my thing. And he came up and made natural conversation with me, and it turned out that he was a nice guy. His wife was very nice. He had three, of course, this is always trouble. He had three apparently perfect-looking daughters.
Oh, dear.
Very well behaved. No, they were, you know, when I knew him, they were 8, 9, 10 years old.
Well,
perfectly behaved.
The dawn of problems.
Right. But the problem he had, the children were really peripheral to the problem. One night, I was out at a hockey game with this guy. And, in fact, that's where we knew each other from. We knew each other from hockey. I was out with this guy, and he had a little too much to drink. And here's what he told me. He said, do you listen to Howard Stern? And I said, yeah. Like, you know, like anybody else, I listen to Howard Stern. He said, yeah, I know, but, you know, what a life he has. You know, at the time, Howard Stern was still married and had daughters. And he said, you know, I listen to that show, and he's in the hot tub with lesbians, and he's doing all this stuff. I'm like, where's this going, you know? He says to me, so anyway, I was out at TGI Fridays the other night. He lives out in the West Valley somewhere. So I was at a TGI
Tom,
Fridays.
You always recommend that place, right?
Yes. Come from personal experience. It's teeming with...
receptionists.
Action. Yes, yes. So he tells me he was out at TGI Fridays out in the West Valley, and he met a woman there. In fact, he met a woman there, and then he met a second woman who was a friend of this woman. And his wife was on the East Coast. She was away with the girls, and he stayed in town to do some work. And so he went to TGI Fridays to watch the ball game, and these two chicks approached him. And they were chatting, and he was buying them drinks. And, well, you know what we always say, one thing led to another. And as they were wrapping things up at TGI Fridays, the girl says to him, the first one he met, do you live near here? And he said, sure, follow me. And they, so you can imagine them out there in, you know, Hidden Hills, wherever they are. They get in the car at TGI Fridays, and like a little caravan, they follow him back up to his place. And this guy had an acre and a half. Kind of a palace, like a big house on a relatively large piece of property. And sure enough, the girls say, do you have a pool? Do you have a hot tub? Yes, I do. So he's making drinks for the girls, and they get in the hot tub. And he's telling me it was like his dream. You know, he's been listening to Howard Stern, and here he is with these two women. They appear to be lesbians, and they are leading him into the hot tub, and the three of them had a very good time in the hot tub. Very good time. It was great. And, you know, after it was all done, the girls went home, and he went to bed and thought nothing of. Now we fast forward a few weeks later. Mrs. Him is home from vacation with the girls, and he's sitting home on a Saturday afternoon, and the phone rings. He's got a landline. The phone rings. Says, I'll get it. He picks up the phone, and the voice from the other end of the phone says, hi, remember me? We met at TGI Fridays a few weeks ago. He said, yes. She said, I know where you live, and I know you're married, and you have three daughters. You told me all about it. And she said, if you don't give me $10,000, I'm telling your wife. And now he's in like a bad CBS 1 hour drama, like NCIS or somewhere. One of these shows.
After school special.
He's in one of these shows. So he said, I'm sorry. I think you have the wrong number. He hung up. Well, just like a Alfred Hitchcock movie, the phone continues to ring. And he continues picking it up. And his wife's in the other room going, who is it, honey? Is anything wrong? And he's, no, nothing's wrong. Picks up the phone again. She says, I'm telling you, you can't keep answering the phone. You got to go to work. And one day you're going to work. And I'm going to keep calling. And eventually, she's going to pick up. And he kept hanging up on her. At one point, he finally went to the bathroom that weekend. He's in the... Now, imagine you're in this situation, okay? You're in the bathroom. You're trying to get a little business done in there, a little privacy. Got your pants around your ankles. And you hear the phone ringing. The phone is ringing, and you can't get up and run to the phone. And so, sure enough, the wife picks up, hello? Yes, this is she. What? No, I don't believe that. Huh? And so the conversation continues, and by the time he finally, you know, finishes his business and gets out there, they are well into this conversation. So the wife hangs up the phone and says, I was just talking to a woman who said she's been to our home with you. And he said, well, that's obviously not true. And the wife says, she was describing the artwork in our house. She was describing the furniture. Nice. She told me our address. Now, what I was going to ask you as a criminal defense attorney is, you've got somebody who's clearly doing something illegal. You know, you're talking about women, you meet them in a bar, then later the fix is in. What happens? I'll bet there's a guy out there right now who's been in this situation. What happens when you do that and then somebody's trying to blackmail you? What would you tell a client to do?
Well, he's going to have to come clean with his wife. That's the problem. That other lady doesn't have anything if the wife knows. The whole basis of the blackmail is the fact that the wife doesn't know. What I was talking to you about in terms of the kind of same circumstance is that, and I understand a woman could do it after any number of dates, but I really think that as a man, you're particularly vulnerable if you've only seen her once. It seems to me that...
But what if you've seen her twice or three times, and then you dump her?
I really
she
think
can
that
still do that.
I'm with you. I really think if you are with her on the second date, it's like, I met her the other day, we went out, I drove her home, and then I saw her a second time. I think that opens up much more of the concept that she knows you, that she's pursued you a little, she's called you a few times. You're going to have text messages back and forth or whatever. You're going to have emails. I think that offers a lot more protection. This guy that you're talking about, I mean, it's one of those things like if a deal is too good to be true, it probably is, you know. He meets these two girls, and all they want to do is fuck his brains out, right? I mean, you know, obviously...
I've always thought there was something funny about that. So you know what I did, for years when I would go out and meet chicks that way? I would never go home with them on the first date. Instead, I would start to send instant messages to them and emails to them.
That's what I'm saying.
And they would write to me. And the thing is, after a while, you had a paper trail on them.
Exactly.
So the idea would be, I might meet somebody tonight, but if I have sex with them, it'll probably be someone else I met a week ago. Or maybe just contacted on the internet or was in, you know, chit-chatting with them. But I always kept every conversation, every photo they sent. You know, if somebody is sending me a photo of their twat and they're telling me, what are you doing Friday? I think the implication is clear.
Yes, but think about that then, okay? If you're on the other side of an investigation of some sort and I'm your attorney, right? And you're being accused of sexual assault or whatever, if I have these racy messages and I have some of this stuff, I have some basis to defend you. And then she ends up being on the defensive. Wait a minute, if you weren't consenting, then why did you send him a picture of whatever, you see? I mean, I think that you have to have a little bit of time. I really think this thing, and Tom, it's the strangest thing, and I know you wouldn't engage in this. I think that it's certainly very, very smart, for example, to go to the woman's house rather than bring her to your house, as you've always said. But in a lot of clubs that I've gone to, people are meeting and literally going out and doing it in the parking lot, in the car, or in the bathroom.
That is out. If they know my license plate number or my last name, that's out.
Yeah, well, they know your last name, and then it's like maybe they didn't get your license, but well, I know he drives a black, you know, Mercedes or whatever the hell it is, you know?
Right. I mean this is why I've been recommending those lobby bars at hotels. Because you're chasing from out of town.
You go to her room.
They're the ones who have, it's her room, it's her credit card.
Right.
You go in there, and then when you're done, you leave. She doesn't even necessarily know your name. You could know her name. You could know who registered in that room. But you don't want her knowing yours. You don't want her knowing where you live. You don't want her having any information about you. You know, if you're going to engage in casual sex, I think that's the way to do it.
I think there's no doubt about it. And even what you're talking about, it's fascinating to me, and I've always said this, you know, in general, that there's no man in the world that a woman hates as much as the man she's had children with. And to be able to discover that she's pregnant, even if it's not true. Remember that Craigslist vasectomy guy last week or whatever, where the woman said it was his and all that? I mean, you've got to really read that carefully. I mean, there's going to be this woman. She's going to be furiously pissed off. It may not even be yours. It doesn't even matter. You know, Tom, there was a woman that was after Chris Rock, and she was torturing him for years, suing him and carrying on. And it turned out that they did a DNA test, and the child wasn't even his. I mean, it just shows you the madness of it. And if, you know, you're someone that has a little bit of success, you're the one that they're going to choose to be the father of the child, whether you are or not, because you're the biggest fish in terms of getting money from you. And that's why I'm telling you, Tom, the less they know, the better. But realistically, you've got to even keep a little bit of defensibility. And like you said, a paper trail. And I really think that the one date thing is just too dangerous.
The other thing that I have told guys, I know when someone's trying to, again, I've been around the block too many times.
So when they're working you.
I had a chick one time. I was wearing an L.A. Kings leather jacket. And I met her at her hotel room. I went up there, and we had sex. And then here's what she said to me. This is how you know somebody is trying to do you in. She said to me, "Oh, let me borrow your jacket until you can take a picture of me in your jacket." I said, "Absolutely not. No.
No
you're
fucking
not going to wear my jacket. No."
Or you say, "Why? What does she want my jacket for?"
Well, what possible reason? What are you going to go around? I had the woman who I've talked about this on the show, and Dean was there when it happened. We were in Seattle. And we were in a hotel suite that was my suite, but Dean, on my say-so, invited a couple of girls over to have sex with us. And so the one woman who I'm with...
A great guy to know.
He's laughing because he knows this story. The woman I'm with is, get this, and doesn't this make sense, she's a Catholic school teacher.
Oh, God. Oh,
and
my God. She wants to be bad, I think.
Oh, no, but here's what it is. Okay, I've got her where I want her. She's in my room. Dean's in his room. And I've got her poised. I'm ready to go. And just as I'm about to enter her, this Catholic school teacher says to me, "You know, I've never had an orgasm that way. No one ever made me come like that. Never." Just as I'm about to, you know, enter her. And what she doesn't realize is who she's talking to. She's talking to me. I couldn't care less. If you don't give a shit. So here's what happened.
But Tom, you sweet talked her, of course, right? You told her, "Well,
you know
sweetie,
me, I'm
that's
a romantic.
Great. Oh yeah, I'm so
a romantic
happy.
At heart." So after we're done, she comes out of the room, and in order to be decently dressed, she throws on a gift that I had been given. I had been given a hockey jersey by the Seattle Thunderbirds hockey team, and it had the number on the jersey was 101, and the name stitched above it was Lycus. It said Lycus 101 on this jersey. This woman, a Catholic school teacher with everything to lose goes running up and down the hallways of the hotel in my jersey saying, I just fucked Tom Likas!
Oh, dear.
Dean, did I leave anything out?
I don't think you mentioned it was the piano suite.
Yes, well, it was the grand piano suite.
Why did she know your name, Tom? Jesus.
Because I'm on the radio, and she in Seattle, everybody knew my name. Oh, okay, because I was doing the number one radio show in the afternoon. But the point I'm making to you is, when women put your jersey on with your name on and go running up and down the hall screaming your name, that's not for nothing. That's because they want to have the option. If you decide you're going to be a dick or they think you're a dick, they have the option of setting you up.
Right.
That's what that's all about. And, you know, come on. You want? By the way, I had another woman one time years ago. I was at when I was working at KFI, I was at a Rush Limbaugh event. And I introduced Rush at this event. And then I had a room at the hotel. And I literally had a line of women waiting to get into my room. And I had the woman who came into my room. And when we were done, she literally left the room and ran around. This was at the Hyatt Regency downtown. She ran around saying, I just fucked Tom Likas, as loudly as she possibly could. Now, come on.
Real class,
what is that
dude.
All about?
Real class.
What is that all about?
It's about daddy issues, I think.
It's about, like, if they think you acted like a dick and you cut them off, you cut off contact with them or anything, then they can say, and that was me in the hallway. It was clear I had been with him. There were witnesses.
I was so in love.
That's what, yeah. He promised me everything. He promised to give me all these things.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you know what that's all about.
Well, I think that maybe the smart thing to do, especially with these smartphones, is to turn it on and have the woman speak into the phone. I do hereby give my consent to have sex with Joe Blow.
Here, let me give a little word of advice, because I'm very familiar with all the features of my phone. There is an app on your Android phone, and there's probably one on an iPhone, too. It's called Voice Recorder. And you can simply press that button and record everything she says. And you know what? I started doing that. I have women on tape. And I have them talking about what we're going to do and where we're going to go. I have their own voice. It's so powerful. I remember, you know, when I recorded my ex-wife for her prenuptial agreement, we had videotape of her in her own words saying, this isn't about money, I love him. I mean, what better evidence to have when you're getting divorced and you've got a videotape of a woman saying that? Fabulous.
These guys, Tom, seriously, first of all, I'm getting a call from their family member because they're in jail, okay? So, number one, because it's sexual assault, the bail is more than $100,000, okay? So they have to come up with $10,000 or more dollars to get bailed out. Plus, they need an attorney, of course. That's going to be big money. And classically, they're all, like, pressed for money or broke. And here I'm talking to a mother or to the brother or whatever, and they're crying and they're hysterical. It's, like, the saddest thing ever. So I just got to tell guys to tread carefully.
Let's talk a bit about those Labor Day weekend DUIs for a moment before we take the break.
More than 2,000 in L.A. alone.
Now, I'm always curious, and I've never actually asked you this question or anybody, but I'm always curious, like, you know, does your phone literally ring off the hook beginning Labor Day weekend? Is it crazy like that? Or, you know, is it just a little bump in phone calls? Do people come out of the woodwork? I would think... that there are three, just like there are three big days, like for the fast food business, there's three big days for the DUI industry, and they would be Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day.
Well, the thing is, there's different kinds of people, okay? You have some people that call me right away, so there were plenty of calls over the weekend. But then there is the procrastinator types, and they're going to call me in about a month and a half when their court date is about to happen. So there's sort of like two versions, you know? Most of the time now that people that get a DUI, if they behave themselves, don't have to post bail. So they're just let go the next day or later the same day even. And so a lot of times those people put it in a drawer and don't want to think about it for a while. And then when the court date's getting closer and closer, that's when I hear from them. And that's a shame because it limits the amount of things that I can do in terms of saving their driver's license and whatnot.
Right. Wow. And when they call you, are they a different breed of DUI? Are these people more likely to have been caught up in a checkpoint or one of these saturation patrols than they would normally be? Or what's the difference with the holiday drinkers?
No. It's definitely, you know, when you've talked to these people, I remember in the holiday you would do these special shows. There are definitely true blue alcoholics, you know. But in the holiday times and Christmas as well and so forth, there's a lot more people that go to the office Christmas party or whatever that normally are not very heavy drinkers. And so they're actually much less prepared to drive and be able to deal with it. I think the guys that you used to have call in that were like the heavy-duty alcoholics that had it all set up in their car, a lot of them had been drinking and driving every day for 20 years, and they were sort of good at it, you know? Don't forget, cops pull over cars, particularly that are weaving or whatever. And you know what's an incredibly typical giveaway for someone who's drunk driving is not having the headlights on. That's classic. If people driving drunk at night, a lot of times forget to put their headlights on for some reason, and cops pick up on that. You know, so I think you're much more inclined and likely to get arrested under those circumstances when you're, let's say, quote unquote, less experienced, as opposed to someone who does the time.
Now, when people call you, do they deny having been drunk? Are they in denial? Do they know they did it? What are they like?
Well, the story usually starts with how the cop with the handcuffs on too tight and was, you know, mean to them. And, you know, they don't understand why they got pulled over and so forth. And so I have to sort of back them up a little. Like, what happened first? You know, were you at a friend's house or were you at a bar? And how much do you have to drink? And that sort of reminds them that maybe there was a reason that they got arrested. Because for a lot of people, the story is just how unjust it all was and how the cop was rude to them or whatever, you know?
I'm always amazed at the way cops are set up to find people, okay? Because here they are, hiding in the bushes, or there's a checkpoint, or whatever. And I say to myself, if the place is called Acapulco, or El Torito, or if it's the Mammoth the Margarita Monday, why wouldn't they just be parked outside waiting for people to come out? Isn't that probable cause in and of itself?
Just like being at a bar at all?
Well, being in a bar. B, being in a bar that is known for selling oversized goblets of margaritas.
No, but why do bars have parking lots, by the way? Explain that one to me.
Well, that's what I've always said. You know, they have all these zoning laws about everything from the liquor stores to where pot dispensaries can be located, blah, blah, blah. And then they allow people to build bars. These are licensed by the state of California.
Right.
They allow people to build bars with these mammoth parking lots. And Burbank is full of them. How does that happen?
Well, I guess the really mysterious question, you know, is that if I don't know if you've seen a real checkpoint, Tom, but they are absolutely like noticed. There's sign after sign, and I mean, when they set them up, you could turn around and get away. They're not very careful about it, and I'm amazed that people drive into checkpoints at all. I mean, you have so many opportunities to break off.
I was in a car with a friend of mine. And at least Gary or Dean or both of them were in the back seat, and I was in the front seat. And the drunk driver, our good friend, was driving the car.
Oh, no.
And he did not see the sign that said that there was a checkpoint ahead. And I had to tell him, duck out.
You saw it.
I saw it. Because I was sitting on the passenger side, and the sign was, like, right next to me. And I said, what are you doing?
Gary had no idea.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Gary. It was someone. It was
Dino had no idea?
Gary and Dino were in the back seat.
No, but in the back seat, they couldn't see anything?
Well, I don't know if they did or they didn't, and maybe they said it at the same time I did. I don't know. My point is, if you are heading for a checkpoint and you veer off onto a side street, is it that probable cause?
No.
Really?
I wouldn't drive. If you know you're drunk, Jesus, Tom, if you're drunk, you don't drive into it, please.
I was not driving.
I know, the guy was.
You're not hearing me. The guy was.
Right, I understand.
My friend was.
And he didn't notice it.
Yeah, but here's my point. As much as I'm telling him to bail and get off Fairfax, I would think somebody would be keeping an eye on people who suddenly bail off Fairfax onto a side street. I mean, wouldn't that be suspicious? Wouldn't that be a reason to chase somebody?
Well, the reality is that there was a long period where the police were just pulling people over, and there was a big thing where they said, this went to the Supreme Court, that it was racism, and they were pulling over blacks more than other people or whatever. And so they made these checkpoints, which is where they just pull over every single car. So there's no issue of racism. That's why that is, and that's where it came from.
Right. No, and I remember.
That's even how Senate gets the list, because it's a published list.
Right. Which I find hysterically funny, that on the one hand, they're trying to catch you, but on the other hand, because of the Supreme Court decision, they have to announce where they're going to be doing it.
That's the madness of the United States, Tom.
It's insanity. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with phone calls for our guest, Attorney Adam Sachs, who is here as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. And yes, here we are right after Labor Day. If you've been accused of drunk driving or driving while you're smoking weed, or maybe you did it, maybe you didn't. Maybe you just have some kind of a criminal record and you want to have it expunged. He's the man to talk to. And you call this telephone number right now. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is the telephone number. It's 901-3000. 866.
Listen to an entire year of internet broadcast history now at PremiumTom.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24-7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee on my fucking rug. Find us at newnormalrock.com and ask like TuneIn. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no broads, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug. New normal rock.
Devin Bronson has dropped in here to the studio. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've been on the road. Tell us about some of the acts you work with.
Well, I've been touring extensively for the last 10 years. I just got back from a tour with Sebastian Bach from Skid Row. I've worked with Avril Lavigne, pretty much anybody in the pop music business, so it's been a blast.
Now, people have seen your name on our Twitter feed, and they've seen you around. You are the man behind the Black Box. What is the Black Box?
The Black Box was an idea I had. I remember being on tour with David Cook from American Idol, and I was looking for something to listen to music backstage at a show, that kick butt that was loud. And I couldn't find it. So a mutual friend who's in the audio industry, we started talking about it, and this did not exist. A rock and roll kind of themed audio brand that was loud, kicked your ass, sounded great, played music the way you wanted it to sound.
It's got this great bass quality to it. It sounds like speakers in a concert.
That was our goal, and we offer 12 volt as well with it, so you can plug it into your car, take it to the beach, anything you want to do with it. But the goal was not to sacrifice any volume, any sound, any quality, and make something that just kicked ass.
It's the Black Box. You go to bnaudio.com, put in the promo code Tom. You're going to love the Black Box. Likas Show. With the Vince Dirty Adam Sachs at 901-3000. Tom, that's our telephone number. It's 901-3000. Tom, if you've got legal questions, here is your legal advice. 901-3000-866. A reminder, tonight keep an eye on blowmeuptom.com and I will have all the details. For those of you who care about this kind of thing, all the details of our first year of being monitored by Triton Digital, our webcast metrics. We'll have the top 10 cities that listen to our show from September 9th of last year to September 8th of this year. Top 10 radio markets, top 10 countries, and all kinds of interesting statistical information for those of you who care about that kind of thing. It'll be at blowmeuptom.com, and you can look at it. And all you trolls can say it doesn't mean anything or whatever. That's fine. We're fine with that. But in case you did not hear the news, we ended up with almost 8.9 million tune-ins in our first year of being monitored. 8.9 million. Representing almost 5.4 million hours of listening. 5.4 million hours of listening. This isn't a radio station, folks. It doesn't have a transmitter. Doesn't have a satellite dish. But a lot of people heard the show. A lot. And we got the numbers to prove it. And they're right there right now. Blowmeuptom.com. Take a look. All right, calls for Adam Sachs, 901-3000-TOM. That is our telephone number. Let us say hi to DJ in Lakeview Terrace. This is a pretty serious situation here. DJ, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hi.
Hey, DJ.
First off, how you doing, Dad? Appreciate your show. You've given me wisdom. Since listening to your show, I've gotten laid a lot more. Appreciate it. But Adam.
Yes.
One of my friends, he's 20 years old. He actually, the cops out here are like, they might as well be gang members themselves. He's been targeted before, but he was shot. And he, from what I'm understanding, he didn't have a gun in his hand. And I knew the police department and the court system was doing something funny because they're charging him with assault with a deadly weapon on a police officer, but he didn't have a weapon on him. And his first day of court, they actually sent him to some traffic court instead of the felony court, so his parents didn't even end up finding him that day. So I know they're doing funny business trying to offer him a crappy deal. And I was wondering, like, I don't know, I'd want you to actually see if you could represent him.
Yes. Does he have a lawyer now?
Some crap. From what I hear, like, I'm just talking to his mother because I can't speak to him. But his court-appointed attorney doesn't return anyone's calls, and he only gets to see his court-appointed attorney if he goes to court today.
Yeah, well, that's your basic public defender. Notoriously, yeah. They don't return calls. They're completely overwhelmed because they have so many cases.
They're bureaucrats.
Well, they work for the government, basically. You know, he needs a private lawyer. I mean, a lot of this stuff goes on, and a lot of people get caught up in it, and before they know what happens, they've, you know, pled guilty, and the whole thing's done before it starts.
Yeah, it's just when you offer someone, when you're facing 20, and then they come before and say, take 8, it's like someone with no money, they're inclined to try and take the deal with 60% time, and, you know, it's a lesser of two evils, but he's actually been targeted by their gang unit before, because when he was in high school, they actually had it on video. It was all over YouTube. Like, a cop provokes him, pushes him, slaps something out of his hand on the bus, ends up arresting him and taking him down. Even though the video went viral, he still ends up getting found guilty of some BS.
Okay. I don't know what to say. He needs a lawyer, obviously. I'd be happy to help him. I mean, I'll talk to his mom if that helps.
All right. How would I go about contacting you?
Give me a call after the show, 800-340-7320.
Let me get that.
Put him on hold.
Do you have a pin?
Dean will
Yeah, well, you know what? We're gonna put you on hold, and Dean is going to give you all of Adam's contact information.
I'll say it
and
again.
You can call him tonight after the show.
Me too, Dad.
Of course, son. I'm happy to help you. That's what we're here for.
That shows you, Tom, how fast it happens to people and how quickly they get caught up in it. It's a terrible thing because, you know, most people have not had any experience with the legal system. They've seen some stuff on TV, which, you know, sort of simplifies what happens. And people get into a position where, you know, something big happens to them and they're completely unprepared. And then by the time they catch their breath, it's already done and they've already made these terrible choices with unbelievable consequences.
The other thing that happens, I think, is that many of us think that being arrested by the cops is something that happens to somebody else, but not me. You know, I heard about some lowlife who got arrested. People talk like that. They're watching the news, and they're talking about some lowlife or some creep. In fact, the news has this very annoying writing style. I've been noticing this on the TV newscasts, where they say things like, they keep referring to the person who has been shot or arrested as this guy. And they're all doing it now. A guy was arrested. This guy was arrested in the Inland Empire. This guy. So to me, that already implies that you are diminishing or demeaning that person by referring to him as this guy.
This sleazy guy.
He might be this innocent guy. He might be this guy who, you know, was in the wrong place at the wrong time. We don't know who he is.
One of the cruelties of it, Tom, and you see this, is that when you're in trouble, people run away from you. You know, they really do. And I have people that tell me, you know, my friends won't talk to me anymore. My relatives don't get back to me because there's sort of this, like, a presumption that you're going to be guilty. You've done something sleazy. You must have deserved it, you know. And people get caught up in these circumstances, and it happens, like I said, very fast. And they reach out to the people around them, and tragically, a lot of times, they're not there for them. It's really sad.
Yeah, it is. Let's go to Angel in Costa Mesa. Angel. You're on the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hi, Angel.
Hey, what's up? What's up, guys?
Not much.
Say, first of all, congratulations on your tune-in numbers. You know,
Thank you very much.
I usually go to your website, but, you know, same thing. But
it's been a pretty remarkable year for us, I got to say. And, you know, I'm kind of blown away and kind of humbled by it. I'm thrilled. Our listeners have really supported us, and I want to thank everybody who's part of that number.
I'm not a subscriber to your website, but I like to consider myself a P1. You know, I got a Darren Clary's book here. I shop through Amazon through your link, and you know, I preach your word, Tom.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
But anyways, let me preface by saying that last year, I got a DUI, right? Here in Costa Mesa.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went through that whole ordeal. And I'm still going through the... I'm almost done with the whole program and all that. And done paying and whatever. But last, like, about a weekend and a half ago, I was walking home with my friend from a bar. And the reason we were walking home, because we had gone there with a group of friends. But my friend had got so drunk that he was calling girls cunts and... You got a drink thrown on him, and yeah, it was just to the point where I was like, all right, man, we got to get out of here. We got to get you out of here. So then we're walking home, and on the way home, you know, everything was fine. And then some cop pulls us over, and all right, whatever, you know, it's not the first time. So I wasn't really nervous or scared or anything like that. I'm just like, all right, he's going to ask us what we're doing, and that's that. But he pulls us over, and then he just, I don't know, like, I don't want to sound like the guy that says, all cops are assholes or fuck the police or anything like that. Because, honestly, all cops aren't assholes. But you can tell. You can tell when you got a bad one. You know what I mean? So he pulls us over, and he's just hassling us, like giving us a hard time, asking us the same damn questions over and over. And then another cop comes, and he asks us the same questions again and again. And then another cop comes, and it just keeps going and going. And we're telling him, like, look, we went to a bar and now we're going home. Like, what's the big deal? Why can't we just go home? And they just had us there. They were being dicks. And, you know, you can imagine my frustration. I got a DUI, so here I am thinking I'm doing the right thing by walking home. And they're still fucking with me. And so I was getting frustrated, and then they're fucking with my friend, and my friend's kind of giving into it, and he's like, oh, all right, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. And then that kind of made me mad. And I was like, no, you don't tell them you're sorry. We're not sorry. What the hell? We didn't do anything wrong. And so, you know, that's kind of my fault. I was sort of agitating them. And so then they're fucking with us even more. And they're just really, like, kind of poking at me, like, trying to get a response from me. And I was kind of drunk. So I was talking shit to them, too. And eventually, long story short, they put me in handcuffs and took me in under drunk in public. When I was the less drunk one, but basically, you know, they took me in, so now I gotta go to court, and I don't know what to tell the judge. Like, that's, you know, like, What do you think, Adam? What should I tell this judge?
You don't tell the judge anything. Get yourself a lawyer, okay? That's ridiculous.
A lawyer?
Yeah, you're damn right. I mean, you can't have these charges. You already have the DUI, and it doesn't sound like you fought it. It sounds like you just pled guilty. And now you're going to have a drunk in public. How's this going to look to an employer when you're applying for a job? What do you think?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, the way you're in now, you got to get this dismissed, and then you got to get that DUI expunged once you're done with the whole thing and done with the program and whatnot. But this idea that you're mouthing off to these cops, I mean, was it really worth it? Does that really make sense to you now?
No, it doesn't.
Well, so that's all I can say. I mean, I have definitely seen a lot of different cops in my life. I was in court today, and there was maybe a dozen cops in court with me, and we were joking with each other, and a lot of them are really just decent guys, hardworking, and they take a lot of shit from the public also. But there are a lot of the ones, like you say, that are bad apples, like this guy that was giving you a hard time, and you're not going to be the winner, okay? He's got a lot more power to screw with you than vice versa. And so for you to go in there and mouth off to him, and I understand you're a little bit drunk or whatever, you should have just kept your mouth shut. I don't see how there was an advantage to, like, standing your ground and screwing around, you know, why should I do, you know, whatever. That doesn't make any sense. I think being compliant is probably the way to go.
Angel, we'll have Dean give you Adam's contact information. Hang on there, and Dean will talk to you. Drinking in public. Now, this is a very interesting law to break. I mean, whether you've had a DUI or not, it sounds like it makes sense. If you're going to go out and have a few drinks, you walk home. How can it be illegal to be drunk in public? How can that be?
Well, technically, of course it is. And you know, Tom, there's a lot of instances where the cops have a choice. There are people I know that have gotten different kinds of arrests and DUIs and whatnot, and the cops said, why don't you just put your car over in that, you know, parking lot or on the side of the road or in the mall or whatever and have your mother go get it later, you know? On the other hand, if the cop doesn't like you and you're being a jerk, he'll have it towed and impounded and you're going to be paying hundreds if not thousand dollars or more to get it back. And what I think happened to Angel, unfortunately, is, you know, he may have been drunk in public and it wouldn't have been a big deal, but what you, if you listen between the lines of what he was saying, they were arguing and he was talking back and he was being nasty to the cop and, you know, one of these attitudes, you know, hey, don't you have anything better to do? And, you know, I'm a taxpayer, so I pay your salary and that kind of nonsense.
But why does society give police a tool? Because frankly, you know, sassing off to a cop may be uncomfortable for the cop and not pleasant, but it's not illegal. So why do we give the police a tool telling somebody who's trying to be responsible by walking home from a bar, all right, you're under arrest for being drunk in public? Isn't just about everybody who walks out of the bar drunk in public?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Tom. I have seen these videos. I think we talked about these a few weeks ago where these guys are cursing and screaming at cops. And cops are taking it very calm, and you got to give them credit that they didn't freak out. But I really think that what he's talking about is just ill-advised, and you certainly don't go to court without a lawyer under those circumstances.
In fact, you
don't even go to court if you can avoid it. If it's a misdemeanor, I can go and appear in court on behalf of my client without my client there. And that's really a good idea because then the cop doesn't get back into the personalization of it, you know, by seeing the person personally in court. It's just me, and we work something out. And that guy already had a DUI, so he already has a drunk thing. This is what I was talking about, Tom, also with the ripple repercussions, which is that in the context now, if he has that DUI first, and then 6 months or a year later, he gets the drunk in public and some of this other stuff, I mean, he's looking at something that could really have a very negative impact on his employability and his future, and honestly, for what? Just answer me that one question. For what?
Well, I agree. I'm nothing but cooperative with cops when they pull me over. Respectful. Cooperative in every way. And it served me well. The cop is in charge. He's got he holds all the cards.
That's right.
And to try to get into a pissing match with somebody in that position is a waste of time. You're much better off killing them with kindness. And,
you know, Tom, I've seen this thing where they were talking about sales, you know, which I think is very much tied up in almost everything you do in life. And they were saying something that less than 85% or more of salesmen don't ask for the sale. You know? They make the pitch, but they don't ask for the actual sale.
Right.
So it seems to me, and this has happened with me many times, with my own life rather than clients, where the cop is talking to me, and we talk about what happened or whatever, and he says, you know, do you know why I pulled you over or whatever? And I ask for the sale. I say, officer, you know, can you give me a break on this? Please don't write me a ticket. And you'd be surprised how many times they'll go along with that.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised because you're handling a case with me where I was pulled over for speeding. And in reality, because I was nice to the cop and I showed him my vehicle, he wanted to see my Tesla. He stuck his head inside. I told him to open the door, come
give
in,
a ride.
Sit down. But now, as you know, instead I have a fix-it ticket instead of a speeding ticket.
Right.
Bottom line.
Well, I mean, you also have to think of it in that context. I know it's hard for people to remember this, but he's also a person, right? We don't know his background or his situation, but he has feelings, and as professional as he may be, if your attitude is really shitty, or you curse at him, or you're nasty to him, that's going to have a reaction. I mean, that's just reality. We pretend that it's not true, but of course it is.
It's never going to help.
I've gone to court many times with people that you can see, and also in cases that weren't mine where I was watching other people, you know, you can see the demeanor of a person and the way the judge reacts to them. It's very, very important. And if you have a bad attitude, I think you're just asking for punishment.
All right, we have one final break this hour. We're going to come back. We'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. And there's more to come. Don't go anywhere.
Storming halls, breaking walls, and busting balls. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
On this show, I love talking about how to save money. Well, here's one great way to save some money. If you need insurance, Costlow Insurance is the place to go to get the best deal. That's Costlo. Costlow. Independent, family-owned and operated since 1965, big fans of our show, and they're just great people. You know, when I was having trouble getting my Tesla Model S insured, and I was having trouble, Costlow got the job done. Quick, easy, total pleasure to deal with. Are you kidding? I'm so proud to be insured through Costlow. I think it's great. Now, you really should give them a call. Get a free, no-obligation quote at this number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CostlowInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Now, they represent lots of A-plus rated insurance companies, and they'll work with you to get the right protection at the right price. For property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance, it's 818-707-7711. Competitive rates for all risks, from DUIs to spotless driving records, from basic liability to comprehensive full coverage policies. Do what I did. Call 818-707-7711 or visit Costlow.com today. Costlow, Costlo.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry. You're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big, bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor. New
Normal Rock. Is your small business online? If not, you're probably missing out on potential clients. And that's a problem. Let the guys at Premium Interactive take care of it for you. Check them out at premiuminteractive.com. They've been promoting large to small businesses online for over a decade. And they're ready to put all of their experience to work for you. Now visit premiuminteractive.com right now for a special limited time promotion called the Express Website Solution. And it starts at just $699. That's right. For just $699, you can have a complete and professionally designed website. It's premiuminteractive.com. Just mention the Tom Likas Show and get an extra 20% off. It's time to get your business online. Get started today with premiuminteractive.com. Tom Likas Show, the bonus hour. And Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, they can give me a call toll free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Or they can email me, adam@adamlawyer.com, or check my website, www.adamlawyer.com.
And don't forget, we've got links to all of that on our website, blowmeuptom.com. So if you're in a heap of trouble, you give Adam a call. Adam, great to have you in. Always good to see you.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Don't forget, Adam is here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, live, 9 p.m. Eastern time, live. So if you missed Adam this time around, he'll be back in a week to talk about divorce, family issues. He'll be sitting right in that hair seat here on the Tom Likas Show.
You know what you want. This is the show that tells you how to get it. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it is time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Unbelievable.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine is just in. Oprah Winfrey is afraid of balloons.
Wow, because she looks like a balloon.
You know, when I heard this story, I know you want to be her pool boy and
I
stuff.
Do. Oh, no, I want to be her husband. Mince no words.
Thinking about how you could terrorize her with balloons, you know?
Really?
When she doesn't see it your way?
Well, she has nice balloons, but it's
when she tries to get you to stop you from watching Notre Dame. And you...
Good luck.
You whip a balloon out of your pocket.
I start popping them. It'd be great to torture her with balloons, though. Yeah. It'd be awesome.
Right? Wouldn't it be awesome?
You know what? How does this even come about? How does this even get brought up?
It's in her very own magazine.
Is she trying to humanize herself? Because it's impossible.
Yeah, it definitely makes her more relatable, don't you?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Because, but listen, she's the one that got, I guess, when the Montecito fires and stuff were going on up there, she got her dog's, I guess, you know, rooms at the, individual rooms at the Four Seasons.
Sure, yeah.
She has nice time.
Who wouldn't
take
do
care
that?
Of the, I know. The dogs never drank tap water
like
in their lives.
Like the most expensive hotel in the world.
Yes. Yeah. No, and she makes your really dogs. And by the way, don't be messing with her with them her Macy's bags or whatever that shit is. Yeah. Don't fool around.
You want a Bronski that so badly. Of course, for the right price.
Oh, I'm not doing this
which
for
could
free.
Be millions and billions.
Millions of dollars. Yeah. But I would definitely, without even batting an eye, I would show up proudly with her out in front of the Ivy and Mastro's and all these great places.
You'd be her boy toy.
I would. Oh, and be like, what so happened good. To Stedman? I'm like, he's not around anymore.
Stedman. Call him Deadman.
Yes. He's not around anymore. Sorry, he couldn't make it.
I'm sorry. Did you ask for a balloon? Start tying up doggy balloons and shit, you know?
There's a Stedman over there peddling some shaved ice over there, whatever that treat is, those fruit treats that people sell in the corner.
Yeah.
Whatever that shit is.
Right.
It's delicious. If you had pepper on top of it, it's delicious.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Chili pepper. It's awesome.
Yeah. Very, very, very delicious.
I forget what it's called, but it's good.
Right. That J.J. Redick could be slapped with a defamation lawsuit from that broad that he claimed he had a abortion contract.
He made a mistake, man.
Yep.
If he did it, it's dumb. It's stupid. It's dumb. Yeah, our friend is looking at a defamation suit and because he told about this possible clause where if she gets an abortion and all this other stuff. Yep. J.J., not so good. Not so good if the allegations are true.
Right. Supposedly, parties agreed that if Lopez had an abortion and if things didn't work out, Lopez would receive a one-time payment of $25,000.
Mm-hmm. That was the deal. I'm assuming you're not even allowed to talk about it.
I'm assuming you are correct.
And I'm also assuming the fact that we're talking about it means somebody else had mentioned it, which would definitely make this into a much bigger problem than it should have been. He could have looked at it like this, that one-time payment, if he had just kept his mouth shut. If allegations are true and he just kept his mouth shut, it's $25,000 against $241,000 that Tom's talking about.
Right.
$25,000 against that. He could have just put up to $25,000.
Sure.
Done. Instead, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
That Aaron Hernandez apparently blocked from watching the NFL in jail. They said, dude, you know that's not happening.
Right.
This ain't a fucking
hotel.
He
still believes that he's innocent, and right. He still believes he'll be suiting up and having a nice time.
Yeah. Oprah's dogs, they get to watch the NFL.
They watch NFL.
In a very nice hotel room.
From what I also understand is they drink vitamin water. So good for them.
They do?
Yeah. Good for them.
That's excellent. Lots of allegations flying around there at Oklahoma State University.
Oh, man. This is called a Tuesday at Arizona State, but I guess this is brand new here for Oklahoma State. Looks like our friends, when they brought in recruits, this is, of course, alleged, when they brought in recruits, they had a group of girls that would bang them and said, listen, if you come to Oklahoma State, you're looking at a nice time.
This is fantastic.
Here's a couple of sexes for you. And by the way, here's a couple of bucks, because not only that, it looks like there's money that possibly found its way to players and so forth, as well as the sex. The sex, money, chicks, done.
I'm seeing also there's some kind of relation to a grade change allegation, that you have sexual favors for a grade change.
This is incredible.
This is awesome stuff.
It is too bad I'm not 4 inches taller and shave off 3 seconds off my 40 time.
Yeah, you really need to do that.
I would love to tie myself down in the 40. I'm sure I'm around 9 or 10 seconds.
Yeah. If you want to puke it up, check out this ridiculous wedding proposal that's gone viral. It took place in Lindenhurst, New York.
Is it real?
It's one of those flash mob things. It's so fucking bad.
Yeah, I won't even look
at
it.
And everybody's going like,
yeah.
That's
right.
So nice.
Boy.
It's a whole ridiculous bunch of stupid people flash mobbing for this wedding proposal. It's terrible. It's
like
absolutely
it says
awful.
In the
Don't
story.
Buy into it.
Nothing
By
says,
way,
will you marry me quite like a flash mob in Lindenhurst.
And Jimmy Kimmel's probably behind it anyway. It's probably totally fake, so fuck you.
By
all.
The way, how many times were you sent that story? Look at this twerker hit the, epic fail. Dude, if
who
you
didn't
can't see that.
9 million people did not question that.
Oh my God, 9 million people didn't see it. By the way, I'm still getting the story. Some people still don't know that was a fake thing.
So
Maron, stop sending it.
I said it over and over again, and I want to send you to a pick alert involving Taylor Swift.
Oh.
This young lady makes a lot of bad decisions when it comes to what she wears. But I'm telling you, the package is there.
Good.
She's got the legs.
Yeah.
She got the fat-free body. Mm-hmm. She has nice breasts.
And she has something I like. Millions and millions and
millions,
and millions
of dollars. Way better than Oprah. Way better. And she's not afraid of balloons.
No,
that's part of it.
She is rocking it.
Look at how fantastic that is. I'm telling you, in about 5 years, she's going to be totally prime. I mean prime. Look at that. That's fantastic.
The future looks terrific.
Yeah, she was at the Toronto Film Festival. She wore this white dress. And it is ridiculously good, let me tell you. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us, I know. And look at how flat that stomach is, and a little ass, and wonderful legs.
You can call me Mr. Taylor Swift anytime.
Mr. Swift, Dino Swift. Check out our podcast at GaryandDino.com. There's a brand new show every Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We are back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Oh, let's talk about our friends at DraftKings. DraftKings.com. The football season is up and running, folks, and DraftKings.com could be crowning you its fantasy football millionaire. That sounds good, doesn't it? The winner of DraftKings Millionaire Grand Final gets $1 million! That's right. DraftKings is the new, fun way to play fantasy football. It's one-day fantasy sports. You know, I've done fantasy sports. You ever doing that draft with that guy who says, oh, I'm the commissioner? and you're going through the rounds and rounds of the draft, but you get to about round 23 or 24, it's like, why did I agree to this in the first place? Well, forget about that. DraftKings.com is not some drawn-out season-long league. You can win some serious cash every single week starting right now. It's super easy. You just select the right players, and you could wake up tomorrow morning with hundreds, thousands, maybe even $1 million in your wallet. It's so easy, they say, that one guy won $100,000 his very first time. $100,000 on day one! Right now, you get free entry into the Millionaire Grand Final. Just enter Tom101. That's the promo code, Tom101, at DraftKings.com for your free shot to be crowned a fantasy football millionaire. But you gotta enter, and I know a lot of you boys are football fans, and many of you football fans play fantasy football. There's no doubt about it. Just enter Tom101 today. Tom101 at DraftKings.com. For details, rules, and your free entry, go to DraftKings.com. Do it right now. Come on.